Hello and welcome to Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Energy. I am so happy you're here with us today. And we have a really great interview for you today. We have my friend Mordecai Wiener. Mordecai, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It is going great. I am so happy to have you here. So
that's awesome to be here.
We're going to jump right in. But first of all, I want to tell the audience just a few things about you so they know what they're in for. So, and a key thing to know about Mordecai is that he has lost 130 pounds and figured out how to keep it off. And he helps other people do the same thing with his program, The Reverse Approach. Now, Mordecai was born in Detroit, Michigan. He was one of seven children. I think you have five sisters, right?
That's right. Five sisters, one brother.
And now he lives in New York City. Now, you know, Mordecai's always been entrepreneurial. He actually, in his 20s, he started a company called Daily Steals, which is sort of like Groupon. It's kind of the same idea as Groupon. And it was actually acquired a few years after he started it for about $50 million. So you really do have great entrepreneurial skills. And now you've turned those onto, you know, those skills and what you do onto really helping people lose their weight once and for all and keep it off.
Just a quick correction there. Actually, I didn't sell it for $50 million though. That would have been nice. That would have been a great outcome. The company was doing $50 million in sales.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
There we go.
That's either way. It's a nice number one way or another.
That, you know, I'll take that number. So you know what? I really love what you're doing and your approach to losing weight, you know, like the reverse approach.
Sure.
So how did you end up doing what you're doing? Tell me a little bit about your story.
Yeah. You know, like you said, in the intro, you know, I was running this company and, it was very successful. And during the time I was feeling, conflicted because on the one hand I was doing really well in life, but on the other hand, I haven't been able to get a hold of my weight, and I've been struggling with my weight since I was a kid. You know, ever since I was 10, I was on Weight Watchers going, you know, me and my mom would get in a 15-passenger van and drive to Weight Watchers every Sunday to get weighed in. And we would go on these diets losing 20, 30, 40 pounds, but we always end up gaining the weight back. And, you know, I grew up in a home where, you know, things were hard financially and a lot of us struggled with our weight. We ate a lot of baked goods. My mom was a baker. She cooked amazing cakes and pastries. So from a very young age, I associated love with food. It's kind of like, you know, like most humans, right? We're born, we're fed, we cry, we're fed, we're held. So we associate the idea of love and food kind of together. And things got really out of control in my 20s when I was running my company, Daily Steals. And, you know, I had a team of 100. I'm only 24 years old at the time. And I'm just not equipped to deal with the stress and the know-how on how to run the business. And my weight just kind of spiraled out of control to a point where I was over 330 pounds. One morning, I remember waking up and, you know, I actually had just hit a personal milestone. I bought this condo in Brooklyn. And, you know, one morning I wake up in my new condo and everything should just be great, right? You're 25 years old and you just buy, you know, a really nice condo. You would think that like your life is good, right? And I remember waking up and getting out of bed and just walking over to the mirror and looking into the mirror and just like looking at myself and feeling like I just wore my boxers, and I felt really ashamed by what was looking back at me. I just didn't recognize myself, and I was feeling like, it's the first time I felt this deep sense of like pity. It was like, oh, woe to me. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. You know, you work your ass off building this, doing, you know, the business and working so hard, 18-hour days, coming up with these ideas and things, yet you can't get your own body under control. Like, what's the point of all of it? And for the first second in my life, I felt a sense of a glimmer of hope, because I realized that the reason I was trying to lose weight in the past was I was trying to do it for other people. It was always for, you know, a significant other, or so I could fit into clothing, or it was always for, I was going on vacation, I was going to Hawaii, I was planning a trip, or I always had a reason why I wanted to lose weight, more to fit in society, to not feel judged. But I never thought of the thought, what about you? Like, don't you deserve to live a healthy, vital life? And that was a new thought. And I was like, whoa, that's new. Where did that come from? And I remember staring at myself in the mirror thinking, yeah, you know what? You do deserve this. And I remember everything shifted in that moment, because I realized that the only reason I was going on these crash diets was because I wanted to lose weight really quickly because I was running away from the person I was. And for the first time, I felt like I was running towards that man.
That I love that. That's beautiful. I resonate with so much with your story. Like, I'd come home from school and mother say, you have a bad day, here, have some cookies, all this kind of stuff. And I mean, and when you were in your 20s, it was, that was like, that's how you dealt with stress. That's how you learned to deal with stress. So you were doing the best you could. Sure. So how were you actually able to get it under control?
Yeah. So, you know, I was actually, in the same morning that I had this epiphany, it was a busy morning, clearly. And, I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, how did I do this business thing over the last 5-6 years? Like, how did I, you know, I grew up in a home where we didn't really have much money. No one gave me any money when I moved to New York. I moved to New York when I was like 19, 20, working in a bagel shop. Like, no one gave me any money. And I actually started my business with like $900 that I had to my name when I was 20 years old. And, you know, at this point, you know, the company was probably doing somewhere around 25, 30 million sales. And I'm like, wow, I turned $1,000 into like millions of dollars. I'm like, I must know something. What am I doing here? I never was conscious of this pattern. I was kind of hustling. I had this really strong hustle. My mom was a hustler. So I really, really strong grit and discipline. And like, I just knew how to like do things like that. It kind of came to me naturally, you may say. And I guess I thought to myself another new thought, which was like, how did you do the business? I'm like, well, you actually went out and found people that were successful. And you read their books and you learned about them, and then you started copying everything they're doing, because I was always a fanatic about positive habits. Like, I was always excited about creating positive habits since my late teens. So like, that's how I became successful business. I just learned what the successful people did, and I have a lot of discipline and willpower and formed a lot of really positive habits. Like, you know, I read somewhere in my early 20s that successful people get up at 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning. So I've been getting up over the last 15 years, like 4 or 5 in the morning. And it's like, I'm just very good at like that type of mentality. So I was like, why don't I look for people who've actually won, A, lost weight, B, have kept it off for a long time, and C, I start applying those habits into my life and integrate them into my life. And it wasn't as easy as that, wasn't as easy ABC, but what I did was I started finding one or two people who lost hundreds of pounds who've kept it off, and I started seeking them out and talking to them and learning from them. And that was a very big shift. And the second part of that entire shift was, I was like, all right, so what do these successful people do? How do they keep their weight off? Start doing what they're doing, like their positive habits, which was, you know, go for walks, drink water, simple, small things, no dieting. And the second thing was, what was the second thing? No, I can't remember. Second thing was accountability and support. I realized that in order to form a really powerful habit, when you have a tendency to eat food to regulate emotions, because essentially that's essentially what we're doing when we're overeating or we're eating foods that aren't healthy for us, we're using food to regulate our emotions. Mm-hmm. And I was stressed out a lot in my early 20s. I was always eating food to regulate the emotional state. So I realized I needed accountability and support. And, you know, I remember the first time I was at a dinner party in New York and someone mentioned Overeaters Anonymous. And I was like, wow, there's a group of people that get together to discuss this problem that I'm so embarrassed of. And I remember going to an Overeaters Anonymous meeting in Brooklyn in Park Slope. And it was like the basement of a church. It's rickety, sitting on these rusty folding chairs. I was like, wow, it's just so cool that we can all sit here talking about our deepest, darkest demons, like that we're ashamed of. Mm-hmm. But something about this ain't feel right. Like something about the basement of a church, like it still feels a little bit like weird. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm going to actually build something that I want to be part of. And that's what actually got me on this idea of the reverse approach, because the reverse approach basically is everything that diets don't teach you. You know, it's all the ways of being that you're dealing with the inner work. So it's less about what you eat. Like most people in my program, they're so unfocused about the food. Like we get our bodies to want to eat healthy. It's less about like forcing ourselves that, you know, it's calorie restriction or weighing your food or doing all these crazy things. It's not so much of that. It's much more about doing the inner work to allow yourself to feel, you know, suppressed emotions, mm-hmm. to be present in your life, to create positive habits, because, you know, most of the things that are happening in our life are automatic. right? We need to get, so, you know, we make 35,000 decisions every single day. Mm-hmm. And if you're a human making 35,000 decisions a day, majority of those decisions, you know, at least I would say, you know, 34,000 of them, you know, are made by our subconscious, by our patterns, right? Maybe 1,000, probably a few hundred, but maybe 1,000, let's say you're an extreme person, are being made by our conscious brain. Mm-hmm. So with that mindset, you need to program your subconscious with really positive behaviors. And there's a way to do that. And it sounds really easy when you talk about habits, like, oh yeah, just change my habit. Habits need to be changed in such a very, there's a few subtle things that need to happen to create a positive habit. One is you need to have the awareness of the habit that you need to change. Because without the awareness of the habit, you can't actually form a positive habit. Two is you need to know the smallest thing, the smallest action you can take to change that positive habit. And now the tricky part about this is you don't necessarily see an immediate result from changing this, but long term you do. And long term could be a few weeks or a few months, but long term you do. And the third thing here is when you create a positive habit, you need to know how to celebrate it and you need to be consistent with it. So you need to be consistent and you need to celebrate. And those things take accountability and support. So I was like, okay, if I'm going to actually do this, I need to have accountability and support. So I actually formed a group that helped me accountability and support, you know, 10 years ago when I was starting out my journey. Mm-hmm. And that really helped me form these key habits that, you know, 10 years later, they're all automatic. Yeah. They all happen by themselves.
Gotcha.
Sorry, that was a long answer to your question.
No, it's actually really good. And it reminded me so much of, I mean, that's how, you know, often people think that when they want to clear up their clutter, if they've got a, you know, if their physical clutter, it's like, I just need to clean up the room. It's like, no, you need to shift your mindset first. That's, you know, you've got, it's like, you have to have a mindset shift or it's going to come back just like the weight does. And, you know, and for me, clutter is really anything that gets in the way of you and what you want to do with life. So, you know, health and wellness, weight is just as much a clutter as, you know, a pile in the corner or, you know, cluttered finances. And so much of it comes is in your mindset. So I love that you talked about that. Now, when people actually do kind of get that shift, of course, we can see with you as you an example, but like when people that you work with, when they actually get that shift and start seeing, being able to clear that clutter out of their life, what's available to them? What, you know, what shows up? I mean, of course they lose weight, but what other things, you know, do they show up for them?
Yeah, it's a really great question. And I can really resonate with the whole clutter thing. You know, if you think about, you know, our modern day society and civilization, you know, we're always being pulled in one direction or another. Mm-hmm. If you're watching TV, you're getting a commercial for, you know, a cookie company or a soda company, you know, it's like Coca-Cola. They're spending hundreds of billions of dollars to get your attention. And they're not the only ones. There's, you know, millions of organizations doing the same thing, fighting for the same. What they're fighting for is your real estate in your mind. So talk about clutter. You have, you know, thousands and hundreds of thousands of daily inputs from companies that are fighting to get space in your mind, whether it's social media marketing, whether it's, you know, walking down the block or driving on the highway, seeing a billboard, you're always being pulled in one direction or another.
Right.
And that is the clutter of your mind. And it's very hard to operate when you have all these messages coming in, which is why people that are on diets feel like they're crazy because they find themselves always on diets. You know, I just got off the phone with a potential client, and you know, she's been on diets for close to 4 decades, 40 years on diets. Right. And the most important thing is she doesn't even believe that it's possible to overcome it. It's the only reason someone doesn't jump is because they don't believe they can ever overcome it. And that's the beginning. The first month of the reverse approach is all spent on your beliefs and your dreams to really understand what you think is possible. Because if you have a vision in your mind of something that's not possible, it's actually pointless to go lose weight. Why would you go lose weight 50 pounds or 30 pounds, whatever you want to lose, if you don't actually believe that you're going to be able to maintain that weight for the rest of your life? So decluttering your mind and really clearing your mind and having a really clear vision on where you want to be, where you're going, and most importantly, why you're going there, it's no point in even trying.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. You're absolutely right.
And this is why most people who lose weight gain it back. Mm-hmm. This is exactly because they never did the why, they never did the what, they never did the dream. They were just like, I just need to lose the weight. but they never got clear on their vision. What's going to, is it, first of all, do they believe they really can keep it off? Because without believing it, like you said, it's not possible.
Well, and you know, and that's exactly right. I mean, it's like, because it's like, you don't want to, it's like, you don't want to declutter that pile just because there's a pile in the corner. You want to know what's available to you once you declutter that. It's the same thing. You want to know, it's like, you've got to have a why for losing weight. It's just not for, you know, to look, to
100%
have a smaller number on the scale. And I know you touched on some of these in what you just talked about, but like, what kind of, like, and I mean, there are so many, I know there are so many reasons. What mistakes, what pitfalls do people run into when they decide, all right, I've had enough of this. I'm going to, I need to lose this.
Yeah. So the first thing is, are they doing, what's the motivation, right? Mm-hmm. Is it intrinsic or extrinsic? If you don't, if you have to know what your motivation is, right? Mm-hmm. If it's an internal motivation and you're doing it for the right reasons, right? Because you deserve it, because you want to have a life full of vitality, because you want to live out your fullest dreams, whatever the reason may be, but you have it for an internal reason, you're much more likely to achieve it. So really connecting to that why is really the first step.
Right.
Second step is taking on too much too soon. You know, so what we do in the reverse approach, we form really small habits. And so the magic recipe, okay, to forming a lifelong lasting habit is also understanding which habits are you choosing, right? Because if you're choosing the wrong habits, you may just get, let's say all habits are unequal. Choosing the right habits will have a positive domino effect in your life, which will knock over 1,000 of the dominoes if chosen right. Mm-hmm. If you choose the wrong habits, it's the exact opposite. You'll be very unmotivated because you may only get 10% of value from creating a positive habit. So it's understanding what habits at what point in your journey are the most important, because picking the right habits and choosing the right habits is the recipe of success or failure. Because at some point, if you don't lose weight doing these things, you're just going to give up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this ain't work. This is a hoax. It's just another program. But if you choose the right habits and you actually form these habits, the ripple effect is so powerful that it actually ripples into your life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually about decluttering your brain of all the things you need to do and trying to get it all at once and trying to accomplish everything at one time. That's what a diet is. A diet is, okay. And you ask any dieter, what's the first thing they want when they go on a diet, is they want to lose a lot of weight really quickly. And sometimes on a diet, you're like, I only lost 5 pounds this month. That's crazy. I spent the whole month eating well. And you're like, a whole month eating well, 5 pounds. Like, I should have lost 15. I'm like, well, 15 is actually not sustainable and unhealthy, but it's the mindset of like, I'm doing this, I'm putting in the work, and I'm muscling through it. I should get a better outcome, as opposed to saying, what is sustainable long term? Because I don't know about you, but if you've been on a diet for many years,
mm-hmm.
what's the point of losing weight if you're going to gain it back? I'd rather just stay overweight.
Yeah.
Why have that struggle of back and forth? Just admit this is the way it's going to be. But mm-hmm. if you want it to be different, doing the same thing you've always done will get you to where you've always been, which is right here. And if mm-hmm. this is resonating with you, there's probably a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's such a good point. And so like, instead, they should, like you said, they really need to focus on their mindset and their why. Do you have any tools? How do you have people, like, really, do you give them any prompts or tools to how to actually figure out what their why is?
Yeah, I have a whole course in this, but one of the actual easy hack for your listeners is ask yourself, you know, why do you want to lose weight? And every reason that you come up, so you write it down on the top of a piece of paper and just keep asking yourself why until you can go no further.
Yeah.
And that will help you tap into like your deepest why, because it's like, you know, creating a positive why, it's like building the foundation of a house, right? So if you're digging into the ground, you want to excavate into as deep as possible, right? Because mm-hmm. that's what you're essentially doing. You're setting up a structure that can give you the life that you want to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I love that. That's really great. Well, now, what tips would you give our audience to help them free their time and reclaim their energy?
That is a great question. Free their time. In what way do you mean?
Just in whatever way their time is, you know, is not free for them. You know,
You know, for me, I think about efficiency, right? What's important to me in efficiency, you know? I like to think about what are my priorities,
mm-hmm. right?
What are the things that are really important to me? And I like to allocate a lot of time to those things, right? It's the 80-20 principle, right? I want to allocate a lot of time to the fewest things that are really important to me. And then the other things, which can be many things, they don't get as much time. They get, you know, the 20%. But there's certain things that are non-negotiables that are really important, whether it's family and friends, eating healthy, taking care of myself. Those get the 80%. And then I use the 20% for things that aren't as important to me.
You know, I love that, because if you're doing that, you don't get to the end of the day and feel like, where did the day go? I didn't get anything done. You've gotten the important things done, and you've still got some time in there for, you know, some of those other things too. So that's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And also I think if you think about it also, it's not just about, you know, prioritizing your time. It's also matching your time with your energy. Mm-hmm. So for example, like, you know, if you're catching up, you know, with friends and family, you know, maybe that can happen at the second half of the day when your energy is already a little lower. But maybe the earlier part of the day when your energy is like really peaking, that's when you do your creative work or your writing or whatever is harder for you during that time. So for me, I generally like to spend the first 5-6 hours of the day doing the work that's more bandwidth in my mind when there's no distractions. You know, from like 5 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock in the morning, those are my golden hour. That's when each minute is really probably worth 10 or 20 minutes because of the amount of focus and clarity that I have.
Right.
But the same 5 hours, the second half of the day, I don't need to be as focused. So I schedule activities that match that energy. So it's really important to ask yourself, what energy do you have through a day? What activities do you want to do that day? So now that you have the 80-20 split, figure out, are you placing those activities and match them with the right energy? Because if you can get that right, it's not just, you know, one for one. It's not one unit for one. It's not 1 minute for 1 minute of activity. If you match this right, you can be getting a very strong payback for the amount of time you're putting into any particular activity.
I love that. That's a great idea. Thank you. All right. I got another question for you. When's the last time you did something for the first time?
Last time I did something for the first time. You know, I just had surgery. That was the first time I actually had the surgery. So I actually, in February, I had a gynecomastia. Mm-hmm. And so I basically removed the excess skin that I've been walking around with for probably close to like 7 or 8 years. And since I lost this weight, from my chest and my stomach. And I got to tell you, it was the first time I did that. But I hope to not have to ever do it again. And it felt amazing. I had a great doctor, thankfully. And the experience went really well. And just after a few months of healing, I've been back to myself now. So it feels really good.
Cool. I love that. That's great. You know what, Mordecai, I think you've got a gift for the audience.
Yeah, that's right. So I made a little ebook with some of the tips that have helped me lose the weight. Give all your listeners, we'll get a copy of that. I'll send that to you and you can share that with them. And if, you know, I can help in any other way, I'm happy to. Anything else that I can suggest?
Well, you know, we're going to have a link down below that for how you can get the ebook. And that will also have that link. You'll also be able to, they'll be able to find you I know this is going to resonate with so many people. They'll be able to find you and find out more about how you did, what they did, and how you can help them on that way too.
It'd be my pleasure. If anybody wanted to dive deeper into the reverse approach, be happy to jam and talk about that.
Wonderful. And I got one final question for you. If you could leave people with one action they can take to help them declutter their life, what would that be?
Be gentle with yourself. It's a process.
I love that. That's beautiful. You know what, Mordecai? I have so enjoyed talking to you today. Thank
you so
much.
Likewise. It's been a pleasure.
And audience, I know that you've loved this just as much as I have. I want you to watch your email tomorrow. There are going to be another couple of great Acer Space interviews coming your way. Until then, we will see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.